Let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus. It's a small little three-chapter book. It's in the New Testament. And if you find the Timothy books, 1 and 2 Timothy, it's the next one. It's right before Philemon, which is right before Hebrews. If you get the Hebrews, you've gone too far. We want to go to Titus chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 5 through 9. So, one of those books we don't go to very often, but very appropriate for this morning's message. Titus chapter 1. And I don't hear any more pages turning, so that must mean everyone's right there, right? Do you have your place? Let me hear you say amen. Yes. Amen. Good. Let's stand while God's Word is being read. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. God's Word says this: "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined." Here comes the key verse, number 9. "He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, all of your scripture is rich and full of truth for us to learn. And every week and every time that we read it, my prayer is that we learn a little bit more about you. This morning, you have appointed me as your spokesperson here to expound on the truth of this scripture here this morning. So I pray that the words that I say, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you here this morning, Lord. As always, I hide behind your cross. I decrease, and may your glory increase. All the glory goes to you, and I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that every pastor who has ever preached a sermon has more of a passion about certain theological issues than others. For instance, Charles Stanley, he has a passion for bringing practical applications of the Bible into the lives of his listeners. A pastor by the name of Hal Lindsey has a passion for end times prophecy and is very knowledgeable on that subject in the book of Revelation. And if you're looking to tie the current events of Israel in with good Bible teaching, you may want to listen to John Hagee. But what about the pastor at Beech Grove Christian Church in little old Nelson County, Virginia? What is his passion? Does he have a certain topic or issue that drives him? The answer is yes, and that topic is the integrity of the church. Starting today, we will start a short sermon series on the integrity of the church. And I will start off by saying this: the integrity of the church in America is steadily going in a downward spiral. And this morning, I'm going to share an issue that is happening in a Christian or a so-called Christian church denomination that is just another example of how biblical integrity of the church is on the decline. But first, why is this issue so important to me? And why should I take time on a Sunday morning to share a sermon about this topic? I have to get back to Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Because it is my charge as an overseer of this church to do so. I am charged by God's Word to encourage others by sound doctrine. The shepherd wants to protect his sheep. Therefore, I want you to be aware of these things so that you will not be deceived or you will not be misled. As I have said since the first day that I was here, the truth matters, and it will set you free. So this morning, we're going to learn a little history mixed in with some theology to set the stage for this message on the integrity of the church. So here goes the history lesson. In the early 1800s, there were very few Protestant denominations in America. The most popular at that time were the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Episcopalians, the Congregationalists, and the Methodists. There were other denominations, but these were the mainline Protestant denominations at that time. In the early 1800s, there was a man named Barton Stone, who was part of the Presbyterian Church. He became discouraged with the Presbyterian Church, and he formed his own group, which he called Christians. There was also another man, and he did not know Barton Stone, but another man named Thomas Campbell and his son Alexander Campbell, who were also part of the Presbyterian Church. They became discouraged with the Presbyterian Church also, and they also formed their own group called the Disciples of Christ. Both groups had something in common. Both groups sought to restore the whole Christian church, on the pattern set forth by the New Testament. And both believed that the creeds of established churches kept Christianity divided. They were both discouraged with the divisiveness of denominational differences. They believed that a simple confession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord was sufficient to unite all Christians. These two men ultimately met, and they discussed their ideas. And on January the 1st, 1832, in Lexington, Kentucky, with a handshake, Alexander Campbell and Barton Stone formed a movement known as the Disciples of Christ, or the Stone-Campbell Movement. It was not a denomination. They did not want it to be a denomination. They didn't even consider themselves Protestants. What was it? It was a movement of like-minded Christians who had a simple belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and an acceptance of Him as Lord would be sufficient to unite all Christians. Their three foundational statements of faith were, and these are also written in the bulletin. Number one, no creed but Christ. Number two, where the Scriptures speak, we speak. Where the Scriptures are silent, we are silent. And point number three, in the essentials, unity. In opinions, liberty. And in all things, love. Those were pretty much the three main points of this new movement. Now, let me stop the history lesson right there just for a moment. Up to this point, when you hear about their points of theology, up to this point, this movement may sound like this is a pretty good idea. Finally, there can be unity among Christians because we will now just focus on the one and only issue that is important, and that is Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. That He is Lord. And since unity within Christianity was their main goal, Jesus Christ is one of those essential points of theology. As I said, we're in essentials, unity. And their essential point was Jesus Christ is Lord. So what are those essential truths about Jesus? they clearly stated in the essentials unity. What are the essentials? I think that's a fair question. What are the essentials about Jesus? What about the resurrection? What about the virgin birth? What about the second coming of Christ? What about the security of the believer? Is Jesus Christ the only way, or is he just one way among many ways? And what about the other issues that Jesus spoke about, such as hell? What about sin? What about all those issues that Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount? Which ones of these are the essentials? And the list of theological issues can go on and on and on. You virtually need a creed to define what the essentials are. This new movement had a flaw, which, like a cancer, would and could continue to grow to the point of damaging the integrity of the church. Let me explain. Let me give you a for instance. Since this movement had no other creed but Christ, the preacher is free to preach whatever theological view of the non-essential issues that he may believe according to his interpretation of Scripture. So here's the example. So let's say there is a Disciples of Christ church, and this church has a preacher, and this preacher is going to preach on Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And this preacher preaches that creation happened in 6 literal days. After some years, that preacher retires and moves on, and he's replaced by another preacher. This preacher decides to preach on Genesis chapters 1 and 2. This preacher preaches that creation happened over a period of billions and billions of years, but it was all under the control of God. That's called theistic evolution. So now, after some years, this preacher retires and moves on, replaced by preacher number 3. This preacher decides to preach Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And his approach is this. He uses the Big Bang theory, and he uses a scientific approach, and he dismisses Genesis chapters 1 and 2 as just a good children's bedtime story that we can all learn something from. Here lies the big question. So, which preacher was correct in his theology? Which preacher was correct in the non-essentials? There's a potential that the people become confused. Some agree with the first preacher, 6 days of creation. Some agree with the second preacher. It was evolution, but controlled by God. And still, some very liberal-minded people in the church agree with the third preacher. So much for unity when the people have heard 3 different points of Scripture. Thomas Campbell, one of the founders of this movement, believed that the Bible was clear enough that anyone could understand it. For as true as I would like that statement to be, and I really do believe that there is a lot of truth in that statement, unfortunately, you will always find and have liberal-minded people in churches that are talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And let me just tell you what those verses say. These liberal-minded people will pose as teachers who will, number 1, secretly introduce heresies, number 2, deny the sovereign Lord, and to follow their shameful ways will, number 3, bring the way of truth into disrepute. And point number four, they will exploit you with stories that they have made up. That's what the Bible says false teachers do. Well, let's continue the history lesson. In 1967, the Disciples of Christ movement united and became a denomination. And it is still a denomination to this day. So why do I bring up all this history about this denomination or this movement called the Disciples of Christ? Because at one time, Beech Grove Christian Church was part of that movement, and then they were part of that denomination. And it was only recently, under the pastoring of Ernie Love, that this church decided to defect from the Disciples of Christ denomination. As an outsider looking in, because I came here after the fact, I would consider the day that this church decided to move away from that denomination one of the greatest days in the history of this church. Let me tell you why. First, let me be perfectly clear about this one issue. I'm going to go off on a little rabbit trail here for a second to get to my point. Every human being is a sinner in need of a Savior, regardless of what their sins or sins may be. Amen? We agree upon that. Romans 3:23 says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that includes all of us in here. And as long as I am the pastor of Beech Grove Christian Church, the doors to Beech Grove Christian Church will always be open to anyone who seeks forgiveness of their sins and seeks a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. I have here in my hand a letter and a CD that was sent to our church concerning the Disciples of Christ 2011 General Assembly to be held on July the 9th through the 13th. According to the letter, we are invited. I guess they still don't know that we're not part of the denomination any longer. Out of curiosity, I not only read the letter written by the General Minister and President of the Disciples of Christ, Sharon Watkins, I also put the CD in my computer to see what it had to say. I wanted to see the details of this assembly. I found out this, that the Disciples of Christ denomination is in full support of a group called GLAD, G-L-A-D, which stands for Gays and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. The GLAD Alliance will have a pavilion set up at the 2011 General Assembly, fully supported by the Disciples of Christ denomination. If you go to the gladalliance.org website, which is supported by the Disciples of Christ, here's what they say, and I quote, this is word for word off of their homepage. The GLAD Alliance is an organization that seeks to transform the Christian church, the Disciples of Christ, in every manifestation into a more just, welcoming, and inclusive church, particularly one that welcomes persons of all gender and sexual identities into full life and leadership. Continue in the quote. On this website, you'll find a large number of resources, including a directory of open and affirming congregations, regions, general units, institutions, and ministries. These are settings of the Christian church, the Disciples of Christ, that have publicly declared themselves welcoming to and affirming of persons of all gender and sexual identities. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, allied persons and families will find a warm welcome in these communities. If you need assistance, please don't hesitate to contact us. End of quote. As I stated a few moments ago, every human being is a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen? That includes us. But the issue that has developed here in the Disciples of Christ denomination is this. They no longer consider homosexuality of any form, lesbians, gays, bisexual, transgenders, a sin. It is no longer deemed a sin in the Disciples of Christ denomination that these offenses are sinful. It has now been called by the denomination a lifestyle. According to their 8-minute video on their website, homosexuality is no different than being left-handed. According to their 8-minute video, they say it's just the way that God has wired them. The present-day Disciples of Christ Church has now interpreted the Bible the way that they want to interpret the Bible. Because there is no creed of essentials, they place homosexuality in the category of opinion. And what does it say about opinion? And I'll go back. It says, in essentials, unity, in opinions, liberty. And that's exactly what they have done. They have put it into the category of opinion where the person now has the right of liberty to believe whatever they want to believe. Because of their actions, the true Word of God has once again been proven correct. According to 2 Peter, I sincerely believe that this is not what Thomas Campbell, Alexander Campbell, and Barton Stone were thinking when they originally formed a movement called the Disciples of Christ. On the other hand, this is what you end up with when you don't have a creed or some kind of complete statement of faith of some kind of what you believe the truth of God says. Let me share a very important truth with you here this morning. The truth matters, and it will set you free. When you try to build a denomination or a movement or a church on virtually no sound biblical doctrine, then you end up creating whatever views and beliefs you want to suit whatever your itching ears want to hear. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says. And that, my friends, is exactly what has happened. In the video on their website, the GLAD Alliance, again supported by the Denominations of Christ denomination, they give several biblical arguments. I'll use the word loosely, biblical arguments as to why homosexuality is not a sin anymore. I would like to take the opportunity to refute all of their claims with good, sound, biblical truth straight from the real Word of God. The one that Thomas Campbell and Barton Stone says it was very easy to figure out what this book says, and to some degree, I agree 100% with them. I would like to share with you what they say versus the real truth. So, are you interested in knowing what their points are, what their arguments are? Next week, come back, and we'll pick up right there. So we're going to pick up what they say, and then let's look at God's Word to see what they say and to see how far they have fallen into the plight of deceit. Let's go to God in prayer.